Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its fourth quarter 2018 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du quatrième trimestre de 2018. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, September 26, 2018, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Monsieur Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you, madam. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French auditor.
Merci et bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site Internet, h2oinnovation.com, dans la section Investisseurs.
Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section Investors. Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO of H2O Innovation, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. In today's call, Frédéric will go over H2O Innovation's business model and highlight the milestone of our fiscal year. I will then be discussing the year-end financial results. Before I hand over the call to Frédéric, please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 of the presentation. I would now like to hand over the call to Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO.
Thank you, Mark, and welcome to the call today regarding the presentation of our annual financial results as well as a fourth quarter ended June 30th, 2018. During the call, we will review the performance of the company as a whole, but also discuss progress done on each of our three business pillars. We will explain you the various tactical and strategic initiatives put forward in order to ensure revenue growth in key sectors, gross profit improvement, and EBITDA acceleration. As you can observe on slide number 4, our company relies on three distinct but complementary business pillars. In their own way, they contribute to the growth and profitability of the company. But most importantly, they allow us to retain our customers, build long-term relationships, integrate multiple complementary products and services, and propose a more accountable and integrated approach to water and wastewater utilities. This is how we are differentiating ourselves from our competitors. This is how we are increasing continuously our recurring revenues. And this is how we are improving our financial performance with more sales and cost synergies. On slide number 5, you will see how we are shaping up our business model year after year. In July 2016, we added a third business pillar through the acquisition of Utility Partners. This acquisition was transformational for us as it allowed us to expand our business offering with O&M services. Indeed, at the end of our fiscal year 2018, our total revenues stand at $99.7 million, just shy of $100 million, representing a 20.4% organic growth from previous fiscal year. Not only we have reached a new record high for the company's revenues, but we have built a more robust business relying on 70% recurring revenues combining specialty production services and operation and maintenance. Overall, our business model keeps improving as we are gaining predictability with more recurring revenues. We are also more organized to capture multiple sales synergies between our business pillars and maximize customer retention. At the end of our fiscal year, our O&M business pillar had 36 O&M contracts in 9 different states and two provinces. On page number 6, we can observe the evolution of our business model and how our revenue mix has evolved from the last 3 years. Our business mix has a direct impact on our gross profit margins since the project's business pillar, the one in blue, is usually coming at lower margin than the two other business pillars. For this reason, we decided to put more emphasis to grow the second and third business pillar more actively in the coming years in order to improve our gross margin profile, thus our EBITDA and profitability. This evolution also applies to our sales backlog. Indeed, our project backlog has remained stable around 53 or 54 million from fiscal year 2017 to 2018. On the other end, our O&M backlog moved from 55 million from 55 million to 68 million over the same period. The 11.6 increase in our combined backlog is giving us an excellent visibility in our forecasted revenue, and even more since we added $24.3 million of O&M renewals on September 11, 2018, thus pushing the combined backlog north of $140 million. Moving to the slide number 7, regarding the adjusted EBITDA, we can observe how our efforts have paid off. At the end of our 2018 fiscal year, the adjusted EBITDA reached 4.1 million compared to 1.8 million the previous year, showing a 125.4% increase in our performance. This significant improvement can be explained by the following factors. First, the increase in our total revenues allowed us to capture more gross profit dollars. This is simple math. The second is that we have been able to manage more effectively and accurately our SG&A expenses and leverage our sales organization. And finally, through multiple strategic and tactical initiatives implemented in 2018, such as the chemical manufacturing improvement, the development and launch of new products, and diversification of our project backlog. Our team continues to strive for more improvements in order to increase our adjusted EBITDA in the coming year. Now let's review the business performance per pillar. Starting at page 8 with the first one, the project business pillar. This is certainly the flagship of our business, with more than 750 systems installed in North America. But it is also the most challenging one due to the complexity associated to the customized engineering, fabrication, and sometimes extensive scope of work over a long period of time. Nevertheless, our sales, engineering, and manufacturing team have raised the challenge in finding ways to deliver our projects on time and quality. Here are a few of the 20 projects delivered over the course of last year. The first one is for the municipality of Montevina in California, a 30 million gallons per day drinking water plant using ultrafiltration technology. To date, this is the largest U.S. plant delivered and commissioned by H2O. This key reference was instrumental to secure additional U.S. similar projects, including a 40 million gallons per day water reuse facility for the city of San Diego, an $8.7 million project secured last year and under engineering phase right now. The second project is for an industrial customer active in the data management. This new plant installed in Oregon is for the water treatment preceding cooling towers required to cool down an important data storage center. This project was key for us, as we are anticipating more business opportunities from this customer. Finally, the last one is for an oil and gas customer located in Alberta. The scope of work, including the delivery of all drinking water process equipment installed into a prefabricated building. This new water utility is dedicated to a man camp in northern Alberta. It is also important to mention that despite the multiple challenges associated to the execution of the projects, the business pillar fuels recurring sales in consumables and services supported by our aftermarket team. Moreover, our project customers are integrating more and more digital solutions to enhance monitoring of their performance. At page number 9, we can see how our revenues along with our project backlog have evolved over the last couple of years. It is finally encouraging to observe in our last fiscal year a significant increase of 49.5% in our revenues. This $9.9 million growth comes from our large backlog and from the fact that all projects that were on hold in 2017 have finally resumed. Despite this favorable growth in our revenues, we have been severely impacted by one project in particular. Indeed, this project located in Texas was outside our usual scope of work and brought new execution challenges and underestimation of our external scope that we have to outsource. This created a negative impact of $900,000 in our gross profit. Without this loss, our EBITDA would have been close to 1% better than what it is today. Through this process, we've learned multiple things and decided to refocus our project scope on opportunities that are more familiar to the corporation and where we have more experience. In the course of the year, we have replenished our project backlog, allowing us to ensure an equivalent revenue level for the next fiscal year at better margin. The gross profit margin improvement will come from the elimination of this bag project, obviously, and from more diversification into our backlog. Looking at the diversification of our project backlog at page number 10, we can see that even if the backlog remains stable around $54 million, the market and application of the projects inside our backlog have evolved positively. From fiscal year 2017 to 2018, the number of industrial opportunities secured in the backlog has moved from 25 to 31%. Over the same period of time, the number of wastewater projects have also increased from 20 to 25%. These two important strategic diversification are usually driving better gross profit margin and shorter revenue recognition, particularly for industrial-related projects. This should impact positively our next fiscal year. Moving to the second business pillar at page 11. As you may be aware, our specialty products and services rely on multiple business lines, including the PWT chemicals, the Piedmont, providing specialty components such as couplings and filter housing and permeate connectors, the maple farming equipment, and our aftermarket and digital solution group. These business lines bring recurring sales and contribute significantly to the gross margin due to the nature of the products. As you can observe on the slide, Piedmont and PWT have worked really hard to expand their geographical coverage by adding a total of 14 new distributors. This will have a direct impact on our future sales for the coming years. In the last fiscal year only, PWT released 3 new specialty cleaners for specific applications. PWT also upgraded their manufacturing capabilities to accommodate more in-house chemical production and blending, allowing us to improve our gross profit margin. On the other end, Piedmont also secured numerous large couplings and filter housing orders, including one for a 250,000 cubic meter per day desalination plant in Saudi Arabia. These 14 big blue filters are the largest one ever installed on a desalination plant. This order was also combined to a large coupling order, showing again the synergies and scalability of our Piedmont business. Today, the sales pipeline for both the couplings and the filter housing is very promising. As the desalination market and desalination industry is growing rapidly, there's many new desalination plants under construction in the Middle East region. As the slide number 12 is showing, the maple farming equipment business line was also very busy. Last year only, we added 7 new distributors to cover new territories. We also released and launched 45 new products, allowing us to attract new customers and gain market shares. We're also proud to mention that we delivered a turnkey project to a brand new maple production in Vermont. This new installation is designed for a maximum capacity of 200,000 taps. Overall, our specialty products and service business pillar has been growing on a steady basis, as the chart on number 13 is showing. In the last fiscal year only, our revenues increased by 15.1% to reach almost $34 million. Since 2014, after the acquisition of Piedmont, the company demonstrated an annual average organic growth of 19% during the last 5 years. As mentioned previously, the organic growth is supported by the expansion of our distribution network, the aftermarket service provided to new projects realized by our project group, and by the launch of multiple new products. Moving to our third business pillar, the operation and maintenance, presented at page 14. Since the acquisition of Utility Partner in July 2016, the company renewed 100% of its O&M contracts coming up for renewal and expanded the business in new territories. Last fiscal year only, we secured new O&M projects in Texas, New York, and Alberta. In total, we have 37 active O&M projects in 9 states and 2 provinces. On slide 15, we can appreciate how our O&M backlog has evolved in the last fiscal year, moving from $55 million to $68 million, representing a 23.5% increase year over year. On the revenue side, we finished the year at $35.9 million, representing an organic growth of 8.1%. Notwithstanding the foreign exchange impact, the organic growth of this business pillar will have reached 12.1%. This growth was generated by the addition of 11 new projects and scope expansion, and additionally, the revenues of some projects were increased by the Consumer Price Index, CPI. Before moving to the financial section, I want to present you on page 16 a change in reporting that we're proposing for fiscal year 2019. Because of the business nature of the after sales and digital solutions, we decided to move from the second business pillar to the first business pillar, this business line. Our intention is to keep the second business pillar exclusively for specialty products and for business lines relying on distribution network. Moreover, because the customers of the after sales and digital solutions are clients previously served by the project group, we believe it makes more sense to consolidate the reporting of this activity under the first business pillar. Therefore, you will observe an $11 to $13 million in revenues shifting from the second to the first business pillar starting in this new fiscal year 2019. I will now let Mark present you further details on our financial performance of our last fiscal year.
Thank you, Frederick, for this update on H2 Innovation's milestone achieved over the last few months. Now, let's go over the financial results of H2 Innovation for the year ended June 30, 2018. So on slide 18, highlight on financial statement, we show that we finished our fiscal year with record revenue of $99.7 million, so just below $100 million. It's an increase of 20.4% compared to last year. The increase in revenue is seen in all business pillars. A 50% increase in project, 15% increase in specialty products and services, and 8% increase in operation and maintenance. Project revenue, as Frederick explained earlier, went from $20 million to just below $30 million this year. Revenue coming from project have increased significantly since last year, and we expect to keep a similar level of revenue in the upcoming quarter. All the projects that suffered from unexpected delays in 2017 resumed and are now in revenue recognition phases. Our project team is very busy and continue to execute the projects that are in our backlog, which is still pretty high at $53.6 million. This high backlog allows us to move to be more selective on projects we bid, and we are aiming to improve gross profit margin instead of increasing revenues. Therefore, in the upcoming quarter, you should not expect to see a significant increase of the overall revenue coming from projects, but the company gross profit margin should improve due to improvement of gross profit margin coming from our project backlog. Revenue from specialty products and services reached $34 million compared to $30 million last year. The sales of specialty chemicals impacted favorably revenues of this business line with the addition of the new distributors in the new territories. Our Piedmont business line also expanded product offering by adding new product and new distributors. We expect to maintain such growth for the next year. Revenue from operation and maintenance increased by 8% to reach $36 million compared to $33 last year. The revenue of this pillar, our utility partners' revenue, and are generated in U.S. dollar. Foreign exchange impact compared to last year is $1.6 million. Therefore, if we don't consider this foreign exchange impact, we generated a growth of 13% over the previous fiscal year.
This increase is the result of the new contracts and scope expansion we secured since the acquisition of Utility Partner in July 2016. The gross profit margin ratio decreased to 22.2% compared to 23.1% last year. This decrease is mainly explained by one specific water project, which was explained by Frederick earlier in this presentation. This project impacted negatively the financial result with a cost overrun of $900,000 during the fiscal year 2018 due to unexpected delays and costs. Notwithstanding this project, the gross profit margin before depreciation would stand at 23%. The gross margin is also impacted by a change in product mix, more revenue coming from project and operation and maintenance, which are characterized by lower gross margin percentage before depreciation and amortization. We expect to see the gross margin coming back above 23% as we execute new projects in our backlog. SG&A increased by $300,000 at $18.6 million compared to $18.3 last year. It represents an 18.6% ratio over revenue for fiscal year 2018, down from 22% last year. The decrease in percentage of SG&A is due to a tight management of expenses, as the revenue are increasing without impacting proportionally SG&A expenses. We expect to be able to continue to reduce the SG&A percentage ratio over revenue for the next fiscal year as revenue continue to grow. The net loss improvement is driven by the sustained growth of 20.4% while SG&A remains stable. The net loss was also significantly impacted by a tax legislation during the reducing the federal tax rate from the U.S. government during this fiscal year 2018, leading to an additional deferred tax expense of $1 million. Without this $1 million impact, which is a non-cash impact from the new U.S. tax legislation, our net loss would have been $2.4 million. Slide 19, revenue trend. At the end of the fiscal year 2018, the consolidated backlog stood at $121.7 million compared to $109 last year, delivering an 11.7% growth of our booking. So if we look over the last five quarters, revenue from project average 7 to 7.5 million per quarter. We expect to maintain such level of revenue coming from project in the upcoming quarters. Although we don't expect a significant increase of revenue, we're expecting to improve gross profit margin coming from project. This is due to the fact that we have more wastewater and industrial projects in our backlog, which will be converted into revenue in the upcoming quarters. For the fiscal year ended June 30, 2018, recurring revenue represented 70% of the corporation's total revenue. Our business plan is to focus on such revenue, and we're therefore expecting to increase recurring revenue to a level of approximately 75%. On slide 19 and slide 20, we want to highlight the result on the fourth quarter. So historically, our fourth quarter was lower in volume and gross profit margin. We've worked over the past year to change this trend. We developed a sales initiative program with our distributor of PWT, so the chemical distributors, which allow improving the fourth quarter result. It brings more predictability on the annual sales volume of these distributors and improves the gross profit margin. On slide 20, we see the adjusted EBITDA improved by $1.3 million compared to last year. Last year was a negative EBITDA of $200,000. This year we have a positive EBITDA of $1.1 just for the fourth quarter. This, despite this one project that impacted the fourth quarter for an amount of $600,000, if we would not have that project, the impact of that one project, EBITDA for the fourth quarter would have been at $1.7 million or 6.9% ratio over revenue. On slide 20, again, we show the adjusted EBITDA increased by 125% or by $2.3 million this year. So from we finished the year at $4.1 million compared to $1.8 last year. It represents a ratio over revenue of 4.1% this year compared to 2.2% last year. This improvement of the adjusted EBITDA comes from a significant increase of the revenue and it's also driven by a decrease of SG&A as a percentage over revenue. Acquisition costs excluded from the adjusted EBITDA as of June 30, 2018 are related to work on potential acquisition. Slide 21, scalability of the adjusted EBITDA. Improvement of the adjusted EBITDA was driven by revenues and SG&A. SG&A level remained stable, as I explained earlier, to last year, with an increase of only 1.6%, while revenue level increased by 20%, which resulted in the adjusted EBITDA growth of 125%. We expect to see EBITDA continue to improve next year as we see gross margin and revenue improve, while keeping a good control on our expenses. Adjusted net earnings, net loss reduction is mostly due to sales volume increase and tight management of expenses. With this slide, we want to highlight some non-recurring and non-cash items that are accounted in the net loss. The net loss amounted to $3.4 million for fiscal 2018 compared to $5.1 million for fiscal year 2017. Once we adjust the non-recurring and non-cash item, the adjusted net earning would be at $700,000 compared to an adjusted net loss of $1.7 million last year. So in the calculation of the net loss, we have the following non-recurring items that amount $1.9 million. So the U.S. tax adjustment of $1 million that I talked earlier, acquisition cost of $500,000, net loss on bank fraud, which occurred in the first quarter for $400,000, and the non-cash item, so of total of $2.2 million, amortization of intangible assets from acquisition. So this is from the previous acquisition we've done, Utility Partners, Speedmont, ClearLogix, PWT. So a total $1.8 million. This is a non-cash. And the stock-based compensation expenses, it's in the admin cost. It's also a non-cash item for $400,000. Slide 23, financial position. On June 30, 2018, the working capital ratio was up 1.26 compared to 1.42 on June 30. So the ratio is impacted by higher volume of activities. As you understand, 20% growth in revenue impact have a different impact on our activities. So first, account receivable increased by $4.6 million to $17.8 compared to $13.2 on June 30. This is essentially coming from project invoicing milestone that was reached in Q4, but was not cashed yet before year-end, and therefore increased the level of account receivable during as year-end was coming up, so during the fourth quarter. Inventory also increased by $2.1 million, so at $7 million on June 30 compared to $4.9 last year. The inventory increased to support the growing demand for all business line of product. Maple, PWT Chemicals, Piedmont. So those inventory are needed on hand and need to be available to generate the growth in the sales that we have done and we're still contemplating to do for the next year. So the net work in progress increased by $1 million. This increase is due to the difference between the advancement and project invoicing. So it's what we call the WIP, work in progress. The net debt increased to reach $17.5 million at June 30, 2018, from $12.6 on June 30, 2017. This increase is related to the increase of the receivable and the inventory. The bank loan, which is our line of credit, increased by $4.1 million. It was mainly used to support project business pillar, with significant project being in manufacturing phase. It was also supported to invest in inventory, support the growth of PWT, Piedmont, and Maple business line, as I explained earlier, and also some CapEx to purchase equipment and vehicle for the operation and maintenance business. Slide 24, cash flow from operating activities. So operating activities used $2.2 million in cash for the year-end June 30, 2018, compared to $1.8 million last year. This increase of the cash flow used in operating activity is a reflection of the change in working cap items that I just presented, with more cash spent to support daily activities of the company, including significant increase of the receivable and the inventory. So this concludes my remark on the financing section, and I'll hand over the call to Frédéric for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. Now let's move to slide number 25. As mentioned earlier in the presentation, we have demonstrated that our business is scalable, meaning that we can grow EBITDA faster than revenues. Indeed, our revenues in 2018 almost reached $100 million, representing a 20% growth. Over the same period, our adjusted EBITDA reached $4.1 million, representing a 125% growth and improvement. Also, our diversified and strong consolidated backlog coming from the projects and O&M contracts is providing us excellent visibility for the coming quarters. It remains strong at $121.7 million and even stronger in Q1 of this new fiscal year after the renewal of two O&M projects in Mississippi, pushing the consolidated backlog slightly above the $140 million mark. With the addition of the O&M to our business model and the sustained growth of our specialty products and services, we now have 70% of our revenues that are recurrent by nature. This is a huge asset for the company as it is allowing us to drive margin up and gain predictability into our financial performance. The project business pillar will continue to improve and margins should start to increase as we are diversifying our backlog with more wastewater and industrial projects, usually commanding higher gross profit margin. The Specialty Products Group will continue to develop and launch new products and grow its sales network distributors. The distributor symposium that we did in 2018 in Netherlands, where 30 of our distributors were present, really paid off this year. We have been able to sign a total of 14 new distributors. This will continue to drive new sales in the coming quarters. The third business pillar, the O&M, will become more and more a catalyst to our sales synergies with other business pillars and will allow us to establish strong presence in promising geographies such as Alberta and Texas. Altogether, our business is in good shape. Thank you for our 580 employees for their hard work and commitment. We keep improving our EBITDA as we are growing our revenues. This now completes the management presentation. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A period. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Pardeep Sangha from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Good morning, Pardeep.
Yeah, so EBITDA margin, seen some pretty good improvement here. You're at over 4% EBITDA margin now as a percentage of total revenue. And I think in the past you said your goal is to kind of get to 6% level, above 6% level, and then longer term to get to 7.5%. You're still on target. Sounds like you're still bullish and still plan to hit those kind of numbers. Is that right?
Yes, Pradeep, that's correct. I know I did say that in previous calls that for 2019 we're aiming at 6%. And you know, in fourth quarter that's what almost happened. I mean, if we wouldn't have that project, I mean that's where we would be. So it's achievable for next year. Growth will slow down a little bit. You know, this there was a lot of growth coming from the project business this year, so 50% growth on the project. I don't know if we said it clearly, but we want to stabilize that growth coming from the project, but focus on higher gross profit margin project. This is what we've been doing over the last year and a half by securing more and more projects in wastewater and industrial. We Frederick explained in the backlog, we have a stronger volume of project coming from those two sector, which comes with higher gross profit margin. Therefore, without increasing the level of revenue, we'll be able to increase the percentage of EBITDA ratio.
So this is exactly what we're aiming, 6%. It's still the target for next year, and build from there.
So costs really, well, the SG&A costs will really be kind of flat going forward in 2019, really. You don't see any expansion of any sort in any of the three divisions in the next year?
In percentage, that's correct. Flat or even, just a little bit below. But, yes, indeed, that's correct.
And the vast majority of the investment that we're doing on, let's say, to grow sales are on the side of the specialty products, so adding more sales capabilities on the PWT and Piedmont end. This is where we're putting our efforts and dollars.
Okay. The receivables has creeped up here, as you talked about. Now, did some of that, like, I guess from project, in project revenue primarily, has that come in Q1? Like, has the cash position improved in Q1 with the receivables coming down in Q1?
Yeah. So we had, indeed, they were all cash. I mean, there's no bad receivable there. It's just timing, unfortunately. I mean, when you take the picture, it's high. It will stay high because of the sales volume and of projects. So there's that shift, you know, that volume, we can either see it in the WIP, in the cost in excess of billing, or in the receivable. But as we build that base, I think we should see a proper balance on that. That's what we're expecting to see for especially the second half of the year, I think.
Okay, and the inventory ramp up, we haven't seen inventory at these high levels ever. Is that indicative of sort of, you know, your expectations Q1, Q2 to have some pretty good strong sales? Is that how we should read into this?
Well, this is an area that we're going to put more emphasis on moving forward, is to try to maintain it or reduce it. But really, we had to cope with the large demand of new couplings and new chemicals. But the vast majority of this increase in inventory was coming from the maple. So that's the challenge that we have now. The maple business this year should remain, you know, flat, or we should see a less growth than previous year. So this will allow us to stabilize the inventory and even more, you know, we'll try to reduce it. So we'll try to optimize our balance sheet and pull cash out of this this line item, if I can say.
Okay. And on the O&M side, you know, you mentioned sort of you got some new contracts, Texas and Alberta. Are there other, like in your pipeline, are there other sort of geographies that you're, other provinces or states in Canada or U.S. that you're kind of seeing in your pipeline? And just maybe give us a sense of your pipeline for O&M projects.
Well, we don't provide it in numbers, but I can give you that the focus right now is put, yes, around Texas and around existing geographies where we have business. It's always easier to expand business where you have currently existing references and existing business ongoing. So now we have entered Texas. We want to try to develop furthermore Texas. There's great opportunity for us. We're pushing on a couple of opportunities in Mississippi. We're very, very well established in Mississippi. We do have a couple of things that we're currently working on, and same thing in Southeast region in Georgia. So we try to build it from where we are, and same thing with Calgary. So once we get into a new geography, we try to first focus and spread it around, you know, and that tends to reduce the cost and leverage our sales as well. So.
Okay. All right. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you, Pardeep.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Young from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. Good morning. A couple things. First, just looking at the specialty for a second. If I look at the Q4 results, looks like the revenues are largely flat year over year. I know this division typically shows pretty decent year over year growth, so just wondering if there's anything unusual in the fourth quarter there.
No, actually, we had a fabulous fourth quarter on the specialty products, particularly from the chemicals. Very, very strong hand for the chemicals. As Mark explained, because we have put the sales incentives to our distributors to reach specific sales targets, they're unfortunately, waiting to the last minute, to the end of the year, to place their final orders. Fortunately, they're placing their orders, allowing us to be more predictable. It was also pretty busy for Piedmont. Maple, it's expected, also slow down usually, as you know, the season is slowing down. If there's anything, there was a big improvement on the margin because of this business mix coming from the chemicals.
Sometimes revenue can be boosted by some big orders of couplings. It can create a little lumpiness into the second pillar revenue. So let's say we're delivering a $500,000 or $200,000 coupling order. This can create some variations into revenues coming from this business pillar. But
gotcha. Yeah. But the expectation. Go ahead. I was going to say the expectation. I guess though is for as you look into 19. I mean, you're still thinking about 10% plus year-over-year growth for this division, though.
Yes, that's correct. As I said, you know, we want to bring the level of recurring revenue up to 75% of our revenue next year. So that's our target.
Gotcha. And then looking into, O&M, for Q4, it looks like the revenues came about $9.7 million, which is nice bump up from Q3. I think Q3 was $9.1 million. I'm just curious if the $9.7 million was included any sort of non-recurring orders, or if we should think about $9.7 million as the sustainable quarterly recurring revenue run rate for that division going forward.
I think it's a solid trend. I mean, there's a very small, minimal portion of extraordinary scope that we perform from time to time, but I know the number that we have there is solid and relying on organic growth. If you remember, we announced earlier in the second portion of the year, so starting back in January or so, the start of a new project in Texas, and since then, we saw almost month after month, you know, increasing scope from this customer as they're putting more and more online new connection, water connection for their customers. So we keep supporting this customer, and it's providing us nice growth. Also, some of these projects are coming up with renewal with slight and small adjustments on the revenue coming up from the CPI adjustment that they have already incurred in their contract. So once we hit the timing of renewal, we're starting to addition these new CPI to the top line. So this helps also a lot to grow revenues.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. And also, just following up with the P&L there, there was a fairly large, as you said, acquisition-related charge, I guess, associated with exploration into potential M&A opportunities. So I'm kind of curious where you guys are at in terms of sort of the pipeline, in terms of what you're looking at, and what the environment sort of looks like right now for you on the M&A side of things.
Well, maybe first on accounting, this is something we used to put in the cost to come, and so you know it wasn't shown, and our accountants during the audit brought that and asked us to put it on a separate line. So. As for acquisition pipeline, I'll pass the.
Yeah, we do have a couple of opportunities that we're working on as part of our strategy, as part of our plan. As we mentioned earlier, our focus is really to grow more recurrent revenue. So we're currently on the look for opportunities on the O&M side, on the specialty products. So these are the type of things that we would like to bolt on moving forward, if it makes sense. Again, I think we proved to the shoulders, we proved to our customers that we're prepared for the integration of companies as we did in the past with Utility Partner. It was a very successful integration with multiple synergies, sales synergies, cost synergies. We have captured them. So now we're prepared to move to the next phase. And so we'll be, and we're on the look for a couple of things. Gabriel, I forgot to mention when you asked, on the fourth quarter increase on the O&M side, I talked about the addition of the new projects in Texas back in January. But in April as well, we announced the addition of this new project in Alberta. So officially, we started to invoice this customer only on the fourth quarter. So this is why you're starting to see, a build-up. into the revenue line. That will remain for the coming quarters as well.
Okay, gotcha. That's great feedback. Appreciate that. I think that's pretty much it for my questions. Thanks very much, and congrats on the full year results.
Good. Thank you, Gabriel.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join the call today, and look forward to talk to you in November for the first quarter results. Have a good day.
And our annual shareholder meeting, too, on November. Thank you. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.